This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will be a help and an encouragement to you. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. My website contains a copy of this program. You can re-listen to it there and also has a weekly meditation on it. You can contact me either way if you would like to leave prayer requests or would like a copy of the program on a CD, or if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list to Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to send me your address so that I can send it on to them. Now again, I'll let you have those addresses at the close of the program. Today we're going to go back to our study of Acts chapter 6. Last time we broke away for a little discussion of the concept of love as is found in the Bible, because last weekend was Valentine's Day. And we do trust that you had an enjoyable time with someone special. And if you're married, I hope that someone special had a good time with you and that you reaffirmed your love for each other. The Lord reaffirms His love for us almost daily, just in the way He takes care of us. And even the unsaved have to admit that if they live in the United States, that they are indeed blessed. And while many people are going through struggles with sickness and illness and other difficulties, yet the Lord is a God who desires to bless. And though sin came into the world and that has confused the issue, I am convinced that every day the Lord in some way reaches out to all of us and does tell us in a subtle way, perhaps through circumstances, perhaps through other people, that He really does love us. And I'm so glad for everyone here who understands the love of God as manifested at the cross of Calvary, and that they have responded to the fact that herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And so God has loved us even when we were unlovable as sinners. And so last time we spent a little time meditating on that. Today we're going to look at an introduction to two different people who will have a great part in the story in Acts from this point on. At least they'll have they'll be introduced to us in the way that God uses them, and one is Philip and one is Stephen. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 6 because the apostles had gotten to a point where they couldn't handle everything that was going on. Moses came to this point in the Old Testament, and his father-in-law told him that he needed to appoint people to help him. And we've come to that point now in the New Testament where the apostles and prophets cannot handle the distributions of the monies that are taking place within the church, because, as we noted, they had everything common. They were taking care of one another. They were making distributions. And there were people who were complaining that these distributions weren't being made properly. And the apostles and prophets realized that their work was in the teaching of the people and in the prophesying, and in they were to labor in the word. And so they needed to delegate some of this authority. And so they delegated it to six men. And those six men actually took on leadership roles in the church. We would probably call these six men deacons in the traditional sense of the word in the Bible. And these six men began to serve and help the apostles and prophets so that the apostles and prophets could be freed up for the more important work of teaching the people, preaching the gospel, and ministering in the word. So let's read from Acts chapter 6. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews, that would be the Jews, by the Hellenists, that would be the Greek converts, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So there were those who thought that favoritism was being shown here. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." And that word "serve" is the word that we get our word deacon from. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men." I said six, it's seven. seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They were going to take care of the spiritual side of the work, and they were going to delegate some of the practical side of the work to those who were able. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And here we're being introduced to a man who will become an important a part of the story of Saul of Tarsus. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. And Philip is going to also be an evangelist in addition to his work here. And they chose Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Now, a proselyte would be one who had been converted to the Jewish faith, but obviously now he's a believer as well, believer in the Lord Jesus, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. In other words, they were Jews, a certain sect of the Jews that disputed with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel, and we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, this is a point aside, but I've often wondered why they said his face was as the face of an angel. Had they seen an angel? Did they know what an angel looked like? There are those in the Bible who saw angels, and they're seen in different ways. We know it was a heavenly host of angels that announced the Lord's birth to the shepherds. And we do know that there were angels who were in white that appeared at the tomb of the Lord Jesus. There was angels that appeared when the Lord ascended into heaven, and those appeared to be angels that were manifested in such a way that they weren't just other men, but sometimes angels appeared as other men. And yet there's a sense in which when his face changed, and it must have changed to reflect the glory of God in some way, it was as the face of an angel. And so I'm guessing that when we see angels, and yes, I think we'll see angels, those of us who are saved and who go to heaven, that angels will be a beautiful sight. Even though they're not a redeemed people, they were created by God, and they must have a beauty to them that is obvious when you see them. And so whatever that means, there must have been a sense of beauty and innocence and perhaps glory associated with Stephen's face as he spoke for God, and they related it to him having the face of an angel. And now when we look at this passage, I've often said people all want to be leaders, and we train people to be leaders, and being leaders is a good thing, but sometimes a leader doesn't know what he's in for, because particularly when it comes to the work of God, a leader puts himself in line for an attack by Satan. And often that attack comes through people who claim to be religious and who claim to have the answer as far as worshiping God is concerned. We would see that as we look at the Jewish people. They would have claimed to have had the oracles of God, the traditions, the presence of God, and because of all of that, of course they were right, but they, of course, were a religious people who were walking in a self-willed way and who had not understood their need of redemption. And so now they'd come to the point where it was more important to preserve their status and their position in that religious system than it was to do what was right. And so the Lord was crucified by people who had no conscience about crucifying an innocent man, because in his trials he was found innocent. And now, again, they're doing the same thing to Stephen, looking for false witnesses, because they really don't care how they accomplish their goal. They just want to get rid of the messenger that is creating problems for them and forcing them to answer questions that they cannot answer. And so, as we look at this idea of being a leader, we become a special target of Satan when we become a leader, and we need to understand that. But we can see that we can be called to a particular avenue of service, and that doesn't always mean that we are eliminated from other avenues of service. These men were good men, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. It meant that it was obvious they were being controlled, not by self-will, not by what people were saying, but they were being controlled by the Holy Spirit, and that means that they were submissive to God. And people could see that, and so in being submissive to God, first they're given a practical thing to do, and they do it, and then from there they move into spiritual work, and both Stephen and Philip were greatly effective as evangelists, as well as being effective in the practical things of the church. They could be trusted. And if they could be trusted with practical things, apparently the Lord could also entrust them with spiritual things. And so when we look at Stephen, we can see that, as we look at the seven, we can see that the whole congregation was involved in choosing these seven, but the apostles gave the seven their blessing. And so I noticed that in choosing leaders, there was an interplay, not necessarily a democratic interplay, but there was an interplay between the congregation and the leaders, and both had to agree that the men were in fact qualified for their job. And I think that should be the case today. I don't think leaders should be autocratically designated by present leaders without considering the congregation. They should be listening to the congregation and asking the congregation for their input when leaders are being recognized. Now, as we look at Stephen, we can see that He is being introduced to us, and the next chapter will show us his martyrdom. And we can see that, again, being a leader is something we need to think about, because the Lord will use us, but we will also be attacked. And Stephen becomes the person who ends up affecting the conscience of Paul, who was persecuting the church, who then gets converted and becomes the missionary to the Gentiles. So Stephen is used in the work of the Lord, and the Lord strengthens him for the job that he has for him. Oh, that we could be faithful like Stephen and controlled by the Holy Spirit. That can't happen unless we have fully trusted in the Lord Jesus and believe that what he says is right, and that his plan for our lives is right as well. And I hope that you do know that the Lord Jesus died for your sins, that you have trusted in him, and that you are submissive to the Holy Spirit, knowing that you are on your way to heaven. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who have listened today. Meet any needs present in our audience. We thank Thee for Thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.